الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before going further, just a little bit revision on, firstly, the most important, our intention. Many brothers are new here, they have just come yesterday, and many came a bit later after yesterday's talk, also just before Maghrib. So it is very important that we renew and correct our intention for being here. First of all, each one of us should think whether I've made an intention of coming. And before that also, intention of my life. For what am I living? Have we made an intention for what my life is? For what am I living? Or are we just passing every day, every month, every year? Or have we got a definite direction, a definite destination where we are going to? That is absolutely essential to define. And as we did explain before, but for the revision again, and for the benefit of other brothers, that we haven't come in this world of our own accord. Nobody requested to come in this world. And nobody will leave this world of his own accord also. If a person wants to stay longer, as long as he wants to, he can't. And he can't. If he wants to go earlier, he can't either. It is when Allah has decreed. So when our coming is not in our hands, and our going is not in our hands. So our purpose here is also not known and defined by us. We can't make it. Like many of us, we have made an intention, but it is dunya. I want to become a multimillionaire. I want to own this, I want to own that. I want this degree, I want that degree. We have made certain targets in our lives. But our targets, this time is not ours. Our coming is not ours. Our going is not ours. So then our intention has to be that which He who has sent us, what His intention for us is here. And which Allah Ta'ala has defined in many places in the Quran Sharif. Very clearly Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah Ta'ala has not created us, jinn or mankind, but for one purpose, and that is for the worship, the ibadat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So that is the purpose. And as far as ibadat is concerned, Mufassireen, most of them have written that it refers to illa liya'rifun, to recognize Allah Ta'ala. So that is our purpose of life, to recognize Allah. And then practically, once we have recognized Allah Ta'ala, the natural thing that flows from the recognition of Allah is the love of Allah Ta'ala. The more a person will recognize Allah, the more he will have love for Allah Ta'ala. Also, to end with love, al-muhib limay yuhib muti, a person who he loves, he is obedient to that person. So when we will gain the love of Allah, then we should have the obedience of Allah. So that is our purpose in this world. So we have to refresh this, bring it in front of us. That I mean, we're in this world here for the ma'rifat, recognition of Allah. And I'm here then for the love of Allah Ta'ala. And then I'm here for the obedience of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And part of Allah's recognition is also that Allah is a great being. And if Allah wishes to, He will punish on his disobedience, those who disobey Allah Ta'ala. So I have to fear Allah Ta'ala. But this fear also, which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has said, that to obey the commandments of Allah Ta'ala in the fear of Allah Ta'ala is no great achievement. Because that an animal also fears. You show a dog a stone, it runs away. You show it a piece of meat, it comes to you. But this fear of Allah Ta'ala It should be not that we fear Allah Ta'ala as such, but we fear that we displease Allah Ta'ala. That we shouldn't do anything that displeases Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That is what we should fear. We shouldn't fear Allah. Fear of Allah, khashiyat of Allah, khawf of Khuda is part of our iman. But the sharafat of a person, the honor of a person is that he fears Allah, not the punishment of Allah, but that he fears that I must not disobey Allah Ta'ala. I must not displease Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So that is why we are here in this world. And why we are in this world? Because we have forgotten our purpose of being here. We never perhaps thought of it also. That is why this i'tikaf program is arranged. This is not generally like other i'tikaf programs where we go to the masjid for ibadat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, but this is here for our islah. So we should keep both things in mind, that if when we have come here for our i'tikaf, then it is not only for ibadat. For ibadat, a person goes to a masjid where there are no real programs taking place. He makes ibadat, tilawat the whole day. He makes zikr. He makes tilawat of Quran Sharif. He makes dua. Those things will take place. But here, like we see, almost the whole day, after Fajr there is a program. At 10:30, 11 o'clock there is a program. After Zohar there is a program. After Asr there is a program. After Isha there is a program. And these are collective programs, ijtimai, where everyone is expected to come and take part in. And this year is for our islah. So we should make this niyat in our mind, that my niyat for my life, I've come to learn that niyat, to revise that niyat, to keep it in front, to be conscious of it all the time. Like a person who is traveling in a car, if he has got no destination where he's going to, then what is he doing on the road? If his petrol gets finished, why is he filling more petrol? Why, if his tire pressure is a bit less, why is he filling it up, topping it up and correcting it? There must be a purpose for him. For everything, Allahu Akbar, we know that our eyes have got a purpose in life. And we know what the purpose is to see. And may Allah protect us all, everyone, our close ones and everyone. If there's any problem with the eye, we know what a serious thing it is. And for example, our mouth has got a purpose in life. Our tongue has got a purpose in life, in the body. So if the tongue has to have a problem, we also know we are so upset. If we can't eat, if we can't talk, if we have got a cut, if we've got a blister on the tongue or something, how Allah, and we at the same time think of Allah's favors. We are using our eyes day in and day out. But who of us even ever thought of it or made shukr to Allah Ta'ala? Our tongue, we have a blister in our cheek inside. And we know when we are eating is a problem. But like this, alhamdulillah, no problem. No, not on the cheek. If it's on the tongue, it's even more serious. It's more inconvenient. It's more frustrating also. So every part of the body, we know, has got a purpose. And if one time, one friend of mine explained, when we had a little talk and it was on this lines more or less, then after that he said he's got some friends who do trucking business, delivering with trucks, etc. So one of the persons, when the truck had tipped its load, his little finger, just a little bit, was where that whole back portion would come back on. And it touched him a little bit. And because of that, his balance of life went out. Like this we walk, alhamdulillah, a person is healthy, he walks nicely, balanced, etc. But when the balance is out, you see him going this way, going that way. Because now this person, just because that little bit it had touched, and now suddenly sometimes he would just like become a statue like this. This is that little, so every little part, every nail, the nail that grows and which we cut, that also has got a purpose. The hair on the body, wherever it is on the hair, or whether it is on the forearm, whether it is on the legs, everywhere, every hair has got a purpose. Everything has got a purpose. In fact, once we were sitting and eating, and right at the beginning, an elderly grown-up person, before the food came, he poured out juice. So I was surprised. Usually this little children do. That they want first, they want is their juice, or they want their cold drink. So then he explained. He said that my mouth doesn't make the saliva it's supposed to make. So when I eat, I can't swallow the food. Now, we ever thought of that also. Eh? That is what a great name. And there are billions of namats within us which we don't even think. So he said, I have to keep on sipping something so that the food I use, I eat, it can be swallowed, I can chew it and it can be swallowed. But this, the saliva, the juice can never do the job which the saliva does. Water will never do the job which the saliva does. This is all Allah Ta'ala's. And we can never exhaust just the human anatomy, the functioning of the human body. And this is all the Qudrat of Allah. And it's not working in one of us. If it was just working in one person, it was a great, great achievement. But how many? 6-7 billion people in the world. Every year, every day, 250,000 more people are born in the world. And the number that are leaving are less. But the number that are coming in are more all the time. And who is the one being behind all this system? It's nobody else besides Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. If we take it and we spread it a little bit more, we have a home that is running. Everything is happening. The housewife knows what her work is to be. There's a grown-up son. He has been delegated some duties. He knows his duty. Everyone. But there's somebody coordinating all this here. There has to be a coordinator. In a shop, there are the various departments. There are people who are in charge of all that. Somebody is doing the buying. Somebody is doing the dispatching. Somebody is doing the account. All different things. But there has to be somebody who is coordinating everything. In the whole country, in the whole world, everything what is happening, and Allah has delegated, and Allah is not in need of delegating also. Actually, Allah is in full control. Allah is not delegated, which normally we think of, this job has been delegated, now you are absolved of it. Allah is fully in charge of everything all the time, and Allah alone is the coordinator of everything. When this is all the case, then hasn't the body got a purpose? Everything has got a purpose. The eye has got a purpose. The nose has got a purpose. The heart, the brains, everything has got a purpose. Then hasn't this human got a purpose for what he is living? There is definitely a purpose. And really, if we can try and understand, that is why we are here. It's not that I know and I'm telling. I'm also here to learn. We are all here to learn. And this is such a lesson that we have to keep on revising. That why am I? Because human being is the one that is the most easiest that gets taken away from the purpose and object for what he was in this world. If we have to consider, the vast majority of people in the world are non-Muslims. Muslims may be a billion, 2 billion, how many are there? But the majority are non-Muslims. So which really means they're not at all aware of what the purpose are, or what their purpose here is in this world. Most of the people have made their purpose the dunya, to live your life, to grow up, to have an education. We're just all normal. If somebody is not going to school, then that is something abnormal. So that is just one normal procedure which we are taking. And after that, you go to university, college, or you start now working for somebody, you start earning, you get married, you have children, and the whole cycle just carries on all the time. But there is a definite purpose behind it all. And we have to be aware of that. That is, the non-Muslims, they are just following this dunya's pattern, one pattern which has been set. And finally you die, you go to the grave, and it's the end. No, it's not the end. At the time of death, the starting of everything is the starting of everything. And very sad that for us, as Muslims, the vast majority of us also are unaware of this purpose. We may be making our 5 times namaz, and we will get rewarded for it. We are making our hajj also. We are giving our zakat. But the purpose of life, what is the purpose of life? That is very, very important. And also we have to understand, as Muslims, that our purpose of life is, mashallah, today in the dua was made after Zuhar, that we must not be slaves of our nafs. That Allah takes us out of the slavery of our nafs and we become the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. Which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, wherever they went and they announced and said, Ji'na لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. That we have come to take people out of the servitude of mankind. And in that, not only that you are a slave of somebody else, or you are a slave of customs, or you are a slave of the trend set in the world, we have to be above that. We have to be, and not we don't have to be slaves of ourselves also. That is also a thing which we have to pass. We have to become conscious that we are not slaves of ourselves. What does it mean to be slaves of ourselves? Just to satisfy ourselves. To satisfy our ego is yet a different thing. But just that I want food on time, if I don't get the food on time, it's a problem. I have to have clothes on my body and suitable clothes according to the season, etc., occasion. If I don't have that, it's a problem. No, above that, as mashallah, Maulana made the dua, that, O Allah, take us into your servitude. That we have to be the slaves of Allah. More higher with that, our desire, Allah's desire. More than I want to make myself happy, I want to make my Allah happy. That we have to reach there. That not that I am making my five times, perhaps we are making five times namaz also to make ourselves happy. Like we know many youngsters in the house, where they know the parents are pious, righteous, now they want something, whatever it might be. They want a holiday, they want a car, or whatever. So they become regular with namaz. For 1 week, 1 month, 2 months, they are making. Parents also feel, mashallah, he's so regular with his namaz. No problem, let him at least go for a holiday. Give him a car, he's so regular. So that purpose wasn't to please Allah. That purpose was for your holiday, for your car, or whatever else you wanted. So like that, we also have to think, everything we do, is it my nafs getting happy? Okay? That I go for Umrah every year, is my nafs getting happy? Or am I seeing that this one person, ordinary person, not an alim, or not that we will call a buzurg or something, but he says, I go for Umrah very, very seldom. And that money which I have, I give it to where it's more desperately needed. How many of us are in that position? And by all means, to go to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, is a great honor. In fact, one person complained to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that these people who are going for Umrah every year, if they give that money to those who are in need. So Mufti Sahib gave him a very suitable answer and said that you give your money where it's in need. Everyone has got a taste, but really we have to see in all our things that whatever I'm doing, am I doing it really for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Or am I doing it for my nafs? Am I doing it for what the people will say? Am I, whatever I'm doing to please the people, or am I doing it for Allah Ta'ala? So that is really why we have come here. So we have to refresh that intention and we have to bring it within us that we are here in order to please Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala be happy with us. Not necessarily, and also Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave this very beautiful example and explained this. That many people have this problem also, that our heart is not like in our ibadat. We are not enjoying our ibadah. We know we have to do it. We are doing it. And sometimes, this is called a condition of qabz, constipation, that you are not enjoying your ibadah. And sometimes you have bust. You are open, you are enjoying your ibadah, whatever you are doing. Your tilawat you are enjoying, your du'as you are enjoying, your zikr you are enjoying. Sometimes that condition also comes. And sometimes this condition also comes. So Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that in the condition where you are not getting enjoyment, that ibadat of yours is more superior than that ibadat where you are getting enjoyment. normally we feel that we make dua, and we should, there's nothing wrong that we enjoy our ibadat, our sajdas, our tilawat, our zikr, everything we enjoy. But there is a great possibility you are doing that for that enjoyment and not for Allah's pleasure. And when you are not getting enjoyment, now you can be almost sure you are doing it just to please Allah. That Allah must be happy. That is why you are doing it. And if you have both, mashallah, what to say then? That your niyat is only to please Allah and you are getting enjoyment in that also. And while we are passing at this stage, let me mention one or two other things which all of us are in need of, and these questions are often asked questions. One of them is that, for example, in a family or whichever situation, there is somebody that you want must get hidayat. Whether it is my parents, whether it is my children, whether it is my brother, whether it is my sister, whoever it is, that the person is not interested in deen, etc. And what to do? And sometimes it's a very aggravated problem. If the person is an addict of alcohol, drugs, then it's a very aggravated problem. But otherwise also, people who are more deeni conscious, and there is namaz in the house, but one person is not interested, his life is just different. There are many solutions to it. One very simple solution is to have ta'aleem in the house regularly. And we must be part of the ta'aleem. This effect of this ta'aleem is very great. And Fadaili Amal or many other kitabs also, but having this ta'aleem. And then dua is very essential also. Usually when we hear about this happened in this town, that to those people did that, we just pass some cursory remark. But how many of us really make dua? So much so, which I seem to notice, which I hope I'm noticing wrongly, if somebody gives information, somebody is ill, then also we just say, some people go to the extent, like a close family person. Now that person had a bad habit of smoking. What we will pass a remark, tell him to smoke more. We don't make dua for the poor. He's got a problem now. That shouldn't be the response from our side. Yes, on a suitable time, go there, explain to him. That person had some other bad habit. He was not sleeping till 2 o'clock in the morning, busy with the internet all the time. Tell him to stay awake whole night. Now that he's got a problem. No, that shouldn't be. So when somebody is ill, we hear, make dua for the person. And in fact, there is a sunnah dua from the hadith that Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma btalahu bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tabdila. That problem shouldn't come to us, one. And also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written so beautifully that this ayat which we read commonly, we hear somebody passed away, somebody met up with an accident, may Allah protect us all, somebody has taken seriously ill. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But the completion, Hazrat says, very few of us do the completion of the ayat. And the completion is, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khulufni khayran minha. Oh Allah, this problem which this person has got, we have got, and his problem should be my problem. Any Muslim's problem, really our attitude should be, it should hurt us also. And it should be our problem. Oh Allah, save us from this problem. وَخْلُفْنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. And oh Allah, give us something more better in its place. So that should be, we should be concerned of everyone, of all. So anyway, when there is this problem in a home, one very, very effective solution, one place where I just explained it by one example, and by examples we usually understand very easily and very well, where the father had grown reasonably old, but still mobile. He was a pious person, regular on deen, etc. His daughters had grown up, he had more daughters, and they took to a different lifestyle completely. Wrong anti-Islamic lifestyle. They bought a TV and put it in. He couldn't tolerate this at all. And this was many years ago when TV was the main enemy. Now it's all so many more things. So anyway, he couldn't tolerate it, and he started reprimanding them. And the mother also started siding with them. They all, so to say, ganged up against the father. And now the father was standing alone and he just could not tolerate. And such a situation with various dimensions, all of us are coming across across such a thing everywhere. So he became very angry and he started becoming harsh on them. That is what our normal retaliation is, that we have a harsh attitude. And it made the situation even worse. Then he wrote to Hazraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib. Hazraji was a Jamaat brother. Hazraji said, you made one big bay usuli. You went against the principles of this harshness. Our work is not of harshness at all. You shouldn't have done that at all. All you do is start with ta'aleem in the house. That's all what you do. And in fact, tell them 23 hours, 50 minutes, they can do what they want to. They don't say directly, it's not permitted to say, you want to watch TV, you want to go out, you want to do whatever. But he said 10 minutes, he didn't say the 23, 50 minutes, in analysis it comes there. 10 minutes we will have ta'aleem, rest of the time I won't tell you anything. It wasn't 2 weeks that when he came home, the TV was thrown out and they themselves broke the TV. And this is not one, two cases. We have got experience of many such cases where this has worked miracles in the homes. And don't expect also that everywhere a miracle is going to happen. Be persistent. Carry on with it all the time. And the other thing, for in such situations, one friend of ours asked, and he was very perplexed and very worried. So I gave him the solution. He says, I thought it's a solution. There is no solution to this problem. And I thought it's going to be a long, long procedure. But he says, just in half a minute you sorted it out. But it is on application that we will apply the rules. We do what we have to do. Not just the prescription we got, and the best doctor in the world gave me a prescription and I frame it up in my house. Now, go to the chemist and you'll have to pay for it. And then take the medicine again after that. Don't make a beautiful golden case and you got the best medicine in the world and you're putting it there. No, that also is not going to solve our problem. Take the medicine as it's supposed to be taken. So the ta'aleem must come and it must carry on. Our problem gets solved in a day, alhamdulillah, in a week, in a month, in a year, but we have to carry on. And Allah knows in His wisdom when He will do it. So that is one thing. Another thing for such problems which is very, very effective is which is called muraqaba idwa. That is without lifting your hands. You just ponder and you just concentrate on your heart. And from your heart you make dua. I'll give an example of this also to show how effective it is. It was earlier in this year that a lady in one big city of ours had, na'udzubillah, had become murtad. She gave up her deen. Everyone tried to explain to her. The ulama went off the town, but she wouldn't listen. Jamaat brothers who have got concern of everyone, they went. She wouldn't listen to anyone. One maulana, who had contact with one sheikh and knew the power of the muraqabah dua, to make muraqabah, to meditate with dua. And that is just from your heart directly to Allah Ta'ala. So he went there and he told, auntie, I came and drink a cup of tea. Now she went, seeing his outward form, beard, topi, she thought he's going to come and lecture me again. And she wasn't, but when he said, auntie, I want a cup of tea, she melted. And she said, okay, no problem, come in, you want to have a cup of tea. And then when she was making the tea, he turned to Allah Ta'ala. And also, never go alone. Go with a few friends on such occasions. At least you must be three people. Don't just go. And then he turned to Allah, Ya Allah, I can't do anything. You are the doer of everything. And you give her hidayah. Hardly a half a minute, 1 minute passed, she came out and she said, Alhamdulillah, I have accepted Islam. And I saw my iman like a dove sitting on top of my heart. And now it's gone in my heart. So this is where all of us are sitting, and we should be sitting with this problem. In our house, our neighborhood, our family, extended family, we know things are not right. In the ummah, things are not right. So these are the things that we should work on a positive way. So anyway, so we have come here in order to learn this, to bring it in our lives, and see on an ongoing process that how much is this coming in my life. How much am I becoming conscious? What is my purpose in life? For what purpose have I come for itikaf? Or it is just one program after the other. After now, we will sit to make dua. After that, we'll make the iftari, make maghrib. After that, we'll have supper, we'll have isha, we'll have taraweeh. Is it just going on? Or is my intention coming right? And together with that, which I wanted to also... Also another point which is very common with us, before I go on to the other point. Many people, we have got this problem that everyone faces it, whether it's himself personally, whether it's somebody in the family, somebody in the extended family or the community. There are people sitting with problems, big problems. Somebody is sitting with financial problems. Somebody is sitting with domestic problems, fights in the family, etc. Somebody is sitting with illnesses. Terrible illnesses, somebody is, has got cancer, somebody is paralyzed, somebody is bedridden, may Allah save us all, and we make this a huge thing in our life. And for us as a small person, it is a very big, huge thing. Okay? There are some people, we will even go for Umrah just to get relieved, we'll go there, drink Zamzam, make dua, so that this problem of ours can get solved. Somebody will go in Jamaat for that purpose. Somebody, one person, an alim, came to our Shaykh, and he also had quite a few problems, and he came to become Shaykh, to become Bay'at. Our Shaykh said, you first go and sort out your problems, then you come and take Bay'at. Bay'at and coming here for Islah is not to sort out your problems. That's a separate department. This is for your Islah. This is a separate thing. Many of us, we will go Khanqah also, but our purpose is to sort out that problem. Our purpose for coming here is not our Islah. We've got a family program, a problem, we've got a health problem, we've got fights and disputes, no money, no barakat, all this. For that purpose, let's go there. Or we go to a buzur, we will sit in his company, we will hopefully get a taweez, our problem would get solved. No, that is not the purpose. Our purpose here is Islah, that we have come here to correct our lives, make that intention, to learn the purpose of life. Let us try our best not to have any ulterior motive, not any hidden agendas, but just, and when Allah is pleased, Allah will please us also. So that is what we have to keep. But anyway, the problem what is there, how to solve that? So that our buzurg say that we are looking at it at a very in a very narrow perspective. In my life, I've got this problem here. Whether it's in myself, whether it's in my home, or whatever it is, I've got. And we're just focusing on that problem. And one easy way to make that not your major problem is you think of the whole of Akhirah. This 60, 70 years of life is not even 2 minutes of one day of the Akhirah. Akhirah, there is no end to it. It just carries on. So this problem is one problem in my life. It is not my whole life. It is a problem in my life, admitted. But it's not my whole life's problem. It is one problem. And I have now made it my whole life's problem. My whole life is now just devolving on this one problem that I have got. And if we look at it in the Akhirah, a person can be, for example, may Allah save us all. He's paralyzed 25 years, he's just lying in bed, or he's in a coma for so many years. There are people who are just lying in a coma. When in going in the Akhirat, it will be even less than the prick of a pin. When we take our blood test and we have to prick ourselves, we will realize there. So try to see it now already, that it is just a small thing. And also try and come over it. And there are such people, may Allah make us all like that. That problem, they don't worry about it. They are worrying of to please Allah Ta'ala. And in that, they don't even think this of as a problem. But when we don't do that, we think this to be the biggest problem. So if we put it in perspective, and even in our lives, it's not everything in our lives. It's one thing, but we made it everything. We made a mountain in out of a molehill, or a storm in a teacup. We made it the whole thing so big. Where is it? Get your perspective. And the other proper solution from Deen's point of view is tafweez, to surrender to Allah. That Allah, you wanted this, don't ask for it ever. And we ask for afiyat, for well-being all the time. But, oh Allah, this problem, you have decreed it, and I'm happy with it. It's not everyone's cup of tea also at the same time. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, what a great person. Everyone, even non-alims, all of us know. And mashallah, we got Maulana. We are also from Kashmir. Maulana, mashallah. So anyway, so Maulana at one time had piles. And piles are either very painful or bleeding piles. It's also a problem. And this had persisted for about 2-3 weeks now. And Maulana wasn't treating it at all. So his very close associate was one time attending on him, for making his khidmat. And he told, Hazrat, you yourself, you're an amanat of the ummah. The knowledge you have got, the ummah is in need of you. And you should take treatment. The ummah is waiting for you. And you are ill, and you can't serve the ummah in this illness as you would serve it if you were healthy. Why don't you take treatment? And he carried on. Maulana didn't say anything. But then afterwards, when he persisted, Maulana just lifted his hand and said, it's a gift from there, and I don't want to return the gift. It's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. But that's not our level. For us, we have to take our treatment. But what we should still, even after taking the treatment, try and bring that raza bil qada. One time, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi asked, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi, is there a maqam, a stage in reaching Allah, the stations that we have to travel, more higher than ikhlas, sincerity? Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi said, ikhlas is amongst the last things that come into a person. Whereas we normally take it that we from the beginning we got ikhlas. When we will get to the top of the mountain, then we will realize that I was thinking I'm at the top. A mountain is not just like a triangle. It's got heaps. So when you go on the one heap, you think that's the top of the mountain. When you reach there, you see, no, it's more higher. When you go there, Mount Everest, any mountain you climb, where you have to go higher, higher, till when you really reach the height, then only you'll realize you got ikhlas. Like this, you might think you have got ikhlas. Anyway, so Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi said, you know better. Hazrat said, more higher than ikhlas also. And like that, normally it's easy for us to think that I've got ikhlas. But it's also, it's not an easy, it's a very high thing. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, whom Allah had blessed with this, may Allah let us reach there. So anyway, so he said that it is rada bil qada. That is even higher than ikhlas, just to surrender. Like that, normally we think I'm quite satisfied, I'm happy with how Allah has kept me. But may Allah save us and save the whole ummah and all His creation when adverse conditions come. Then it's not so easy to be talking like this. Then when a person is going through it himself and he knows what he's going through, but there are plenty of Allah's bandas that in that condition they just too happy with Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly, Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullah alayhi was also made shaheed finally. So the Nawab of the time asked him, how are you feeling? You were shot at close range. He said that, my heart is 100% content. But the smell, and he was a very nazuk tabiat. He couldn't take bad smell or anything wrong. He just couldn't tolerate it. He said, this gunpowder smell, that has, it's gone to my head and I can't take it. But my heart is completely at ease. So this is a thing that a person has to, so that is why we are here. Also one thing, from the beginning I was thinking of speaking of it, that many of our brothers here, we have come here, and we are from different backgrounds. There are few who have come for the Islah, others have come for Etikah, for Ibadah, others have to come for an experience or whatever it might be. But there are certain things that all of us should try and observe, and which is so simple really. But if we do, Allah Ta'ala will also give us our objective to become the friends of Allah. That is, that we are the purpose of life. One of the purpose of life, to please Allah. So Allah is your friend, you become a wali. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has prescribed 4 things. This needs also a lot of explanation, but try and make it as short as possible. And each one of us, whether it's myself, all of us, we should try and listen that this applies to me. take it not, don't think of somebody else, this applies to me. Hazrat says, if a person will practice upon four things in these times, Allah Ta'ala will make him a wali. Not just by practicing that four are such that if you practice them, Allah will bring the whole of deen in your life. And then you will be the wali of Allah Ta'ala. And when you are the friend of Allah, everything is in the control and hands of Allah. Allah will make everything go in your favor. Of those four things, one thing is to keep one first length beard. That is one thing. Each one think of ourselves. Is my beard one first length? And from all three sides, from the bottom of the chin. Don't measure from here, from the lip. Then it will be very, very short. From here. And also your own first. Our Shaykh says, don't call your 2-year-old child and tell him, beta, I want to trim my beard, I want to see whether it's one first length or not, so come and measure it. His first will be 2 inches, 2 fingers. No, your own first. And there is detail in that. And this is, our Shaykh is to emphasize on this, according to all four mazhabs, that it's not just sufficient to have the name of a beard. If a person is cutting it, if it doesn't grow, it's different. Or it's not growing more, it's different. But if it is growing, it should not be touched until it is a full first length. This is one very, very important thing that we should try and keep in mind. And many of us are negligent. And if our, for example, if it's not a full first length, a sunnat beard, we are in sun all the time in guna. We are in tahajjud, but we are in sun. We are in roza the whole day. We are fasting and we are in sun at the same time. So it's very important. The other is to keep our trousers above the ankles. This is also an equally important aspect of our deen, and in which many of us are negligent. And here also must remember, especially if a person's stomach has come out, the trouser tends to pull down all the time. So we have to be more conscious and all the time pull it up also. Okay? One person was traveling by train, hefty, big, well-built person. He was feeling very hot. So he opens the window of the train, the coach, every now and then. Then in the same compartment, there was a very skinny, thin person who feels very cold. So he would close the window again. So the one will open, the one will close. So this hefty person couldn't tolerate it anymore. He says, what do you think you are doing? So he said, I'm playing draughts. That my move, I close the window. Your move, you open the window. Okay? So our trouser also plays draughts with us. Okay? It tends to go down. Our job is to pull it up continuously. 20 rakats of Tarawih. Our trouser is falling down. Not necessary, but sometimes it happens, then our job is to pull it up. And also try and keep it so well above the tariqah of our buzurgs and akabir, that even if it slips a little, it hasn't still gone below the ankles. So that is also we should be conscious of. 2, 3, to control the eyes. Yeah, alhamdulillah, it's easy to control. Avoid the cell phone completely, which many brothers are complying, and we'll have our eyes under control. And 4, our thoughts. Don't fantasize. Don't think of your old stories, what you used to do, and what wrong you had done. And don't fantasize, especially when going to bed, how nice won't it be during this last 10 days, if we have fallen asleep with, La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'alullah al-jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar. We read all our other wazifas, duas, everything, kalimas, and now durood sharif or just dua is on our tongue, and we fall asleep with this. How nice won't that be? But what normally happens, though we are in i'tikaf, but we're fantasizing of other terrible things, wrong things. That should not. A person who will do these 4 things, beard, keep it properly, and look, hopefully there are brothers who are becoming conscious and they want to keep their beard, which they know is not right. By your intention now, the guna of shaving, cutting your beard is already gone off. by your tawbah, your istighfar, it's gone. Your beard wouldn't have grown immediately. It will take its time to grow. But your guna is already off. You made sincere tawbah, istighfar, and you let it grow. Our trousers, make it our firm intention always that we will keep it and try our best to keep it well above the ankles. And thirdly, our eyes control them and our thoughts. Together with that, one important point also that we have to keep in mind is our clothing. Try and avoid clothing that has got writing on it. And particularly, which has been mentioned, but this, the Nike sign. Either N-I-K-E, Nike, Nike, it's written, or there's the tick, or it is written. This is actually a Greek goddess of victory. And that is why it is more on sportswear, that you'll be victorious, you'll win, you'll get luck in that. But it is a idol of the Greeks. It's an idol. So just like no Muslim will ever think of having a picture of a Hindu god on his clothing and make namaz with it, or at any time to have it, or have the picture of Isa alayhi salam on the cross, or have a cross picture, we will never do that. We know that is a very, very big sin. The same way, because we don't know, it's out of, not the disobedience, but it is out of ignorance that many of us, and if we see somebody, don't become harsh on him. First, build up a relationship and try and tell him nicely. Don't just be harsh on a person and tell him, how can you be wearing this or that? But, and make dua, that muraqabah dua for all this fitness. They are very, very effective. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, used to make up to 3-4 hours of muraqabah dua. And Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib, commonly between Asr and Maghrib, his time was for duas of the Ummat. That all the, and not only for the Muslim part of the Ummat, even the other non-Muslims also. Not only for deeni matters and the gunas people are committing, if there are riots in a place, if there are droughts in a place, if there are floods in a place, volcano, earthquake, for all that, these people have got concern for the whole Ummat, for everyone, and for all these matters. So we should try and make those duas also. So try and keep these things in mind as our etikaf is going, and try and bring these, the purpose and object of life, make that the purpose and object of our etikaf. And then inshallah, we will get the fruit of it. Otherwise, we will just have passed our time, sawabs we will have got, and inshallah, Allah will accept it and we will get the reward. But we would have missed the main thing. The cherry on the top we would have missed, and that is that. And the minute we're on course, on direction, our whole life comes right on, and our family will also follow accordingly. People in our town will follow accordingly. May Allah give us tawfiq and guide us to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.